is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey, good morning. This is Chris Abraham Show, Season 6, Episode 28, 28, Van Wheat, Spersa, Jepa. My name is Chris Abraham, and heading off to get a report done before the 10:30 call. I waited till today because I was focused on another gig. As I said, this is the Chris Abraham Show. It is 08:46, so I think I should be okay. I just need to do the report and not the client service work until after the call. It is Tuesday? It's Tuesday! And I did not get to the gym yesterday. I ended up putting in 10 billable hours. So hopefully today, j'espère aujourd'hui, je fais du bodybuilding. So anyway, I was listening to NPR this morning, morning edition, and I gotta tell you, I'm afraid for kids, man. Little girl, I know she was prompted, but she was like at this school event where they were sequestering or recovering or raising money for food waste in the environment. And she said, Glory McGorum. She didn't say that, but as a little 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old girl, she said that doing something for the environment, such as making sure that food waste was redistributed or sequestered for carbon into the ground, or raising money with a little lemonade stand and sending it to an NGO that's going to save the world. I'm all into that, right? Like, I don't have a car. I don't have a motorcycle yet. I will get a motorcycle. I walk everywhere. My obsession with bags over the last 10 years pretty much has to do with the fact that now I'm a mutant middle-aged Ninja Turtle, and my Coyote Brown GORUCK GR1 26-liter SCARS adapted Huckberry slick McBackpack, McRuck face, which is on my McBack McRuck now. She says, Glory McGorum, she said, this little girl said, after raising $200 towards fixing the world, fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. Do, do, do. Anyway, so Glory McGorum, she's like, I feel so good about participating with groups towards a better tomorrow where the world is healed and there is no sadness or sickness and there is no global warming and humans are happy and everybody's fed and everybody sleeps and everybody's happy. Glory McGorum, she didn't say, and now I can get some sleep. Now I can sleep through the night. Now my six-year-old sleepy McSleep face troubles. I don't toss and turn all night because I'm so worried about the future and I'm so worried about all these terrible things that my school teachers tell me, and they tell me that the world is going to end and that there's going to be environmental collapse and all the penguins are going to commit mass suicide and Glory McGorum, she didn't say, the end is nigh, and I feel like by contributing not, you know, billions and trillions of dollars, but by contributing $200 and spending all my time with my posse doing this instead of playing, I think it's really important for, you know, for this to happen and for the world to be better. And ergo, I get my amazing sleep because my little heart and my little head is calmed because I'm contributing and helping to a better tomorrow. Never in the world has a fucking six-year-old girl ever said that before. Maybe in the 90s when this was also a mind virus, but I just wonder how many years from now that poor little girl is going to expire. How the ripples of her life not based on, I'm so happy to be contributing to the collective and being part of a happy tomorrow. She's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Fuck, 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 fuck. That's what's going on in her head every night. Oh my God, oh my. A six-year-old from a private boarding school, I think it's like, or a private day school in the Upper West Side. This little spoiled little girl, I'm assuming spoiled because she got into NPR. She's like, in her head every night where her hyperphantasia, you know, I have aphantasia, which means I do have these kind of panic attacks, but they're not illustrated. They're not visual. They're just general anxiety and a feeling of doom. But six-year-old little girl, I guess I felt like that when I was a six-year-old little girl, but my trauma was my parents ripping me away from my best friend and all the friends I knew in the school I was going to in New York City, and having my narcissistic parents move me, an only child, 6,000 miles away from my New Jersey-based grandparents and cousins and uncles and so forth, to an island in the middle Pacific that I will never be. There'll never be compassion for me because my parents moved me to Hawaii, which is paradise. And at 53, I don't feel the trauma anymore because freaking Hawaii, right? Got to canoodle with beautiful local girls and got to be on a wrestling team and got to go scuba diving, become a dive instructor, but I think I got detachment disorder, man. Like, I just don't feel connected to any of those New Jersey posse. In fact, against everything that's in my principles, I actually look down on them. And none of those people, like, they were just having fun and being cool and doing their own thing. And for whatever reason, I was part of an elitism cult that was just me and my mom. Not even my dad was an elitist fuck. Like, my mom and me lived in a world where we were superior to everybody and not, you know, sad or normal or equal or shittier than everybody. It was a universe of two, of elitism and giant coffee table books of Egyptology and books on French impressionists and Dadaism and amazing books on the early, mid, and late professional life of Pablo Picasso, etc. So there she was, this little girl who has, I guess, Gaia to blame, but I would blame her crazy culture and her crazy teachers. And I'm sure they mean well, but driving this kind of existential nihilism into a six-year-old's head that if they don't sell the fuck out of lemonade, then they're going to enter into a world that will be unlivable and unknowable by the time they reach adulthood. Oh, so irresponsible. And I think that these teachers and these administrators and these non-for-profits and these NGOs and these directors, they go home at night every night, like, knowing they did the good work and that these happy, cheery faces of people who are, you know, picking up trash or throwing away biodegradable food garbage or finding ways to reuse wasted food in the way that we did at Miriam's Kitchen. I know for a fact that my parents' main job was to protect me. My parents' main job was to protect me from those kinds of things and not indoctrinate me in a death cult of fear. Like, I hate to call it a death cult of fear, but if the shoe fits, right? Kind of feels like a death cult of fear. I don't know. I guess it's a great stress test. I guess it's pretty easy to separate the wheat from the chaff, because those who cannot deal with an existential crisis of complete and utter human collapse in the near future will, you know, commit child suicide. They'll commit child suicide and then they'll be out of it. Or they'll have child nervous breakdown I don't know, like they'll act out some way, or they'll completely freak out, or they'll develop secondary effects like fear of leaving the house, or they'll become extremely picky eaters, or like they'll develop neuroses. Like neuroses aren't necessarily always genetic. They can be situational, and they can, you know, be extremely permanent, right? Like we talk about the terrible, terrible, terrible side effects that happen from any other type of like trauma or assault in a child. But we also talk about how important it is to make sure that children are protected, or that they're given life-saving and life-saving health care. And that life-saving health care can, you know, include gender transitions, can include pronouns and non-binary, can include any number of ways to make, to salve beautiful soul that is child into not being tragically, persistently, and universally afraid of their present and their future. And yet, the only way, methinks, the only way that the environmental movement, which I think is fine, right? Mommy, mommy, mommy. I used to do that. Mommy, 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 don't smoke anymore. Okay, son. Mommy, 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 cut these six-pack rings so it doesn't strangle Hawaiian green sea turtles. Okay, son. Mommy, 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 can we get a water filter, or can we, I don't know, whatever kind of little, you know, pollution-based things. Like, mommy, 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 don't pour oil into the drain, or mommy, 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 don't throw your cigarette butts off the out of the car. I don't know, any of these little things, you know. Mommy, 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 you're drinking too much sugar at Starbucks. Like, act locally, think globally, but don't make your kids completely lose their shit that they, you know, children don't get it, right? If they feel like the entire success or failure of the world is lying upon their little shoulders, this little girl isn't sleeping through the night. This little girl who probably lives in the Upper West Side, might live in Connecticut, definitely summers in the Hamptons. Well, then again, all right, do it. If the 20%, top 20%, top richest little kids, top informed elitist, over-socialized little kids are having life-destroying multi-generational trauma and neuroses and existential fear and dread when everything in their life is going grand, maybe a divorce, maybe an affair, but certainly not afraid where they're going to eat, if they're going to eat, if they're going to get an education, if they're going to go to college, if they will have the support for a first house, if they have family support for having children, if those children will probably go to good schools and good colleges and have good food and have good holidays and develop good memories, then I guess it's parity. I guess it's equity. All right, so I changed my mind. See? I have an open mind. I hereby think that all first world wealthy little white girls and little white boys who live in the top 1% and who are overstimulated at day school based on their responsibility for racism, sexism, environmental collapse, global warming, climate change et al., if they acquire a lifetime of dread, anxiety, fear, and existential death cult feelings of helplessness that results in inability to sleep, inability to get out of bed, and situational, persistent situational, and not necessarily genetic, but extreme levels of situational, persistent, chronic depression, then I guess that's sort of parity towards the kind of trauma that children who are abused and sexually abused and abandoned and resented and deal with poverty and homelessness and drug abuse and alcohol abuse and lack of education, lack of support, lack of nurturing. So, okay, all right. So when I hear those little kids, the Upper West Side, who goes to who go to Wellesley Academy or wherever she went, I should be like, well, I think this is just good parenting on her parents' part and good parenting on the part of the teachers, administrators, and education system and nonprofits, because little rich white girls and little rich white boys should not be devoid of trauma. You need, even if you need to manufacture trauma, trauma is important to motivate people into joining the collective and doing good work and breaking their butt on behalf of an ideology or a passion or a vocation, etc. So, ergo, it's extremely important that we put a hot poker in the butts of these little kids and get them motivated to lose sleep, maybe. There's Ambien. And have to go to therapy from the age of 7. That's an entire market. That's good for the economy. But they should be driven with the same kind of hunger, even if it's manufactured, to enter into the world of, you know, joining the World Economic Forum or doing whatever it takes to undo the terror that's upon the world, which will kill all of us and make all of us sick and dead, and the environment will collapse and all the puppy dogs will die and there will be no more pandas and the beautiful wolf and the eagles. Gotta make them go vegan because meat is murder and cow farts and all that fun stuff. So I don't know. I guess it's up to all y'all, the 7.5 people who listen to me, as to what you think is good. But if I were a parent and I found out that my child was losing sleep out of existential dread because they were afraid the world was not going to be around for them when they grew up, in spite of the fact that the family possesses $300 million in assets and is Princeton legacy, in spite of those things, I guess that's just desserts. I guess it's sort of like drug dealing. Like if climate collapse is a manufactured hoax used to manipulate and nudge people, and the only people who can be nudged, though, are people with 120 IQs and above, or people who have the kind of leisure time to ponder such things and don't have, like, fuck, I have to get enough hours every week in order to make my rent, and I have a mouth to feed, and I have to maintain this drug because I have HIV and PrEP isn't free and all this other fun stuff. The only people who have the leisure time to contemplate 30, 40, 50 years in the future are the leisure class. And so to what they say about drug dealers, never use your own supply. Never use your own supply. I think don't get high on your own supply, I think is the beautiful slogan. That's my slogan. Don't get high on your own supply. However, when mommy and daddy, who might be, you know, in on the hoax and might be making loads of money, I don't think it's a hoax. I do believe that, I lived through a 60s, 70s, and 80s America that was polluted as hell. I can't believe that you can swim on the Anacostia and the Potomac, because when I was in college, our coxswains weren't even allowed to be thrown into the water when they won or lost one. And if they were, they needed to get a bunch of shots. So I know that America's done an amazing job. Well, NIMBY, not in my backyard. Worthwhile communities in America that aren't communities of poverty and poorness have done an amazing job of getting rid of at least visible pollution. But like, if your parents all the time, even if they're actors and they're lying because they've got a script and your little kids hear you, they can, you know, they can be really fucked up, even if what you're saying is scripted and not necessarily 100% true, but you're saying it that way because you need to nudge people into behavior, and it's better to nudge people into behavior if they have, like, an existential feeling of immediate crisis and not just something down the road. But, you know, rich kids who have a leisure class and who like to consider themselves sophisticated make a lot of their decisions as to the kind of things that the populist left and the populist right reject. So they might, you know, like from 21 Jump Street, this the new interpretation, where everybody was really into benefiting the climate and working against climate change. Once something like that becomes fashionable, especially in contradiction to the slack-jawed yokels who don't believe in anything, especially the moon landing and that 9/11 was an inside job, even at 6 years old, you're going to go hard on that. And so you, as a entitled little rich girl, rich boy at 6 years old of your young, glorious life, are going to become another Greta Thunberg, and you will do amazing things quixotically. But God, what price is it, huh? What price is it to be a six-year-old girl and to lose sleep and to say that on public radio, hey, you know what? I'm so glad I could sell some lemonade to mitigate climate change and the fact that I'm even participating, and it helps me sleep at night. My six-year-old body doesn't need a quarter pill of Ambien that I take from my mama's drawer. Anyway, guys, it's episode 28 of the Chris Abraham Show, season 6. I love you. I love all y'all, and I'll talk to you soon. Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.
Oh, thank you.